You know, the moments of life, especially in marriage, make a difference in the habits that we develop. So when those moments come, a moment when there needs to be an issue resolved, or there needs to be a conflict to be discussed, or a decision that needs to be made, when those moments occur, how you respond will determine the level of satisfaction, closeness, intimacy, and frankly, the love that you have in your marriage. And so today we're really asking the question, what is one healthy habit that you have in your marriage that's making a difference? And we'd love to hear your story on our comment line, 888-888-1717. The rest of the show today is going to be a best of from our Intentional Living Archives, because what we've heard on this show coming up, I think we already know it's going to be very encouraging to you. But we want you to participate as well on our storyline at 888-888-1717. Healthy habits. What is intentional living? We live a life that God intends. And one of His intentions for us is that you and I would have very godly, healthy habits in our marriage. So stay tuned.
My name is Mark. What my wife and I do is each morning we text one another whatever song we woke up with in our hearts. After that, we text one another a Bible scripture. It does a couple of things. One, it strengthens each of our relationships with the Lord. And the other thing that it does is that it strengthens our relationship with one another.
Hey, Mark, you're a smart guy. Building those kind of habits where you communicate, text now allows us to do that, texting your favorite song and verse and just encouraging each other. In fact, we should be doing that throughout the day. You talk about habits in marriage. Staying in touch with encouraging words, uplifting words can make all the difference in our lives. We've talked about habits several times, even this week, you know, and they're very powerful. So today, share yours, 888-888-1717.
Hi, this is Steve Tanner with some intentional thoughts about habits. Dictionary.com defines a habit as an acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has become almost involuntary, such as the habit of looking both ways before crossing the street, or the habit of salting your food before tasting it, or the habit of going to the refrigerator as soon as I get home from work. As soon as you get home from work. Regarding habits, 18th century English author Samuel Johnson said, "The chains of habit are generally too small to be felt until they are too strong to be broken." U.S. Olympic distance runner Jim Ryan said, "Motivation is what gets you started. Habit is what keeps you going." St. Augustine said, "Habit, if not resisted, soon becomes necessity." And the 19th century Russian author Dostoevsky said, "The second half of a man's life is made up of nothing but the habits he has acquired during the first half." Habits rarely begin in a big way, but often end up with big consequences, good and bad. And it was Ralph Waldo Emerson who penned the famous quote, "Sow a thought and reap an action, sow an act and you reap a habit, sow a habit and you reap a character, sow a character and you reap a destiny." For Intentional Living, I'm Steve Tanner.
All right, that's excellent, Steve. That was good stuff. And you know what it says in the message, the paraphrase of Proverbs 18:9, it says, "Slack habits and sloppy work are as bad as vandalism." Think on that for a while. If nothing else, we're giving you something to think about the habits of your life and your marriage. Some of you could probably even call and say, "I got to be honest with you, it was because of some bad habits in your marriage that you ended up out the door and the marriage was over." Wow. Okay, let's go to Kay. Listens in Arizona. Hi, Kay.
Hi.
Talking habits today. How about you and your marriage?
Oh, well, it's not bad. We've been married 47 years.
Good. What are some habits that have made a difference?
Well, one especially, and it took me almost 47 years to find out how to actually do it.
Well, what is that?
Well, when I would ask my husband a question, how do I do this, or where is this, or, you know, if I, just any little thing, it seemed to me like he would raise his voice at me, and he would be very demonstrative, and his eyebrows would go up, his eyes would get big while he was talking, and I just felt like he was getting angry, but I didn't want to accuse him of getting angry.
He's overreacting to a question.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So I learned, I don't remember where I read it, but I thought I would try it. I don't pay attention to how he's saying it. I just pay attention to what he's saying.
Hmm. Does that work?
And oh, absolutely, absolutely, because I used to just, my blood pressure would boil, and I just couldn't wait to say something when he was finished about, how can you, I don't know why you treat me like a kid, you know, blah, 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 and anymore, I just listen to what he's saying instead of how he's saying it, and realize that he has a large family, and a lot of them in his family do the same thing.
Now, did that change his behavior toward you at all? Or is he still the same?
Oh, you mean when I?
Yeah, I mean the fact that you don't get drawn in, is it just part of his personality and just the way he does it?
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't think it changed him any.
Uh-huh. But it changed you.
It changed how long our conversations go on. We can have really good conversations now.
It's interesting. You know, there's a thing in the whole world of interactions and relationships that the person who can change a relationship is the person with the power. And whenever we give up power in terms of allowing somebody else's behavior or attitude or raised eyebrows or whatever to have power over us, we give away the opportunity to change a relationship. When we keep that power, and I use that term just to illustrate that we're trying to have power over a person, but we don't give up that sense of being unable to assertively and lovingly listen to what they're saying more than how they're saying it. That's a mature thing to do. Not that your husband and all of us should be aware of how we come across, but the fact that you're choosing to listen to his words and his heart and what he's trying to say is a good thing. All right. Thank you, Kay. Appreciate it. Today, talking about good habits, bad habits. Come on, couples. This is for you. 888-888-1717. What's one habit you guys got?
The first one is you never, ever, ever say anything negative or unkind about each other or to each other. Doesn't matter whether you're together or whether you're separated. If he's out with the guys or you're out with the gals, you never, ever do that. Second thing is, we always, always put the needs of the other person prior. They're a real priority, and that's not always easy if there's something involved that you're feeling strongly about or something you really want. But we're talking needs here. And the third thing is shower together once a week, whether you need it or not.
Okay. We're talking about habits here today, and you know, there's research that I've shared in conferences to help couples see that there are things that you can do to help your marriage be stronger. John Gottman, who's sort of one of a senior statesmen in the area of research on couples, has come up with a list of some things that work, 7-1 things that could make a difference, and I'll try to get those to you here in just a minute or two, so get a pencil and paper out. 7 things you can do to help keep your marriage solid and strong. 888-888-1717 as we go to Meredith next. Meredith, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. You guys have a habit that's working for you?
Actually, it's something my husband totally does on his own.
Okay.
We're both pretty crazy coffee drinkers. I worked at Starbucks in college, so I love my coffee. My husband drinks it black, and usually he gets it at work. And then I have the kids in the morning, and so what I just totally melts my heart is when I go to the coffee cupboard and I make my coffee and I get the sugar shaker down and it's been refilled. And it sounds so silly, and you know, most of them are like, okay, whatever. But to me, it's just a totally selfless thing that he does.
Because he doesn't use this. Not for him. It's not about him.
It's not for him. He doesn't use sugar in his coffee, and most of the time he gets coffee at work. So when he does that, it's like, you know, after I've gone to bed or something, like he's noticed that, oh, the sugar's low and she's going to want some in her coffee and he'll refill it. So it may seem silly to some people, but it totally melts my heart because it's like he intentionally thought of me in that moment and knew it would mean something to me. So I appreciate when he does that.
So it is the little things. I mean, big things
really
are nice, but it's those little things like seeing the coffee dispenser or the sugar dispenser empty and he refills it for you.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Totally.
What a guy.
Yes, he's pretty awesome.
I don't know if he's listening, but he gets the gold star so far today.
Yeah.
Okay, you give him a big...
I don't know, it's probably at work, but...
Give him a big hug for us.
I'll see if I can get a replay or something.
Yeah, it's online. You play it back for him tonight.
All
okay?
right.
All right. Thank you, Meredith.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. You know, it is simple as refilling the sugar dispenser in life. I think that's sort of a physical example of how simple it can be to build a habit that says, I care about you, and I want the best for you. I'm not perfect, but I'm going to develop some habits that will speak into your life. I'm convinced, after years of working with couples, that many, many divorces could have been diverted if one or both within that marriage would have begun the process of living out their faith by developing habits that can strengthen their relationship. That makes a difference, and it's a decision that you and I make to do that. Let me give you very quickly a few of the seven habits that Dr. John Gottman has written on and researched often for marriages and for couples, with a predictive value that is very high, 80-90% predictive in terms of marriages that will survive, that do the right things, and those that don't. Here are some things he's recommended. Seek help early. In other words, couples who have strong long-term marriages resolve problems quickly. They don't shove it under the rug. They don't deny it. They don't wait for it to go away. They don't assume time is going to make it better. If there's a problem, seeking help early. The research is pretty clear that most marriages that fail will fail in the first 7 years of marriage. So seeking help early, learning not to let things build up. Even the Bible says don't go to bed at night with wrath or anger or disagreement, resolving problems quickly. Secondly, he found editing ourselves. In other words, we think twice and speak once, right? If we were all to think twice and speak once, we'd have a lot less problems in marriage. Bite your tongue, walk around the block, count to 10, write it out before you say it, think about it, pray about it, and certainly think about it twice before you say it once. Because usually it's the first words out of our mouth or the quick email that's sent back in the send button when you wish you had pulled it back that gets us into trouble. These are the steps that we can take to be intentional in our marriage. There's a couple. I'll give you some more here before we wrap up this half hour. Practical stuff from the Intentional Living Center for being intentional in your marriage. And I'll start with a statement that says success in life, whatever you define as success, whatever I define as success, is not a destination or an event. Rather, success happens whenever you or I win a battle in the moment of life. Yeah, don't rush beyond that. That statement is a profound statement, not because I made it, but because it's true. We're talking about marriage today, for instance, but it could be in any area, your health, your finances, your work, but in your marriage, certainly, the success that comes in our marriage relationship comes down to how we respond in the moment. Some of you could tell stories of how one moment changed everything in your marriage in a negative way. One decision that was made in the moment. One word that was spoken. One attitude that was revealed that maybe as the moment started to come up over and over, there was the same kind of negative response. If we can lasso the moments of our life and live those intentionally the way God intended, it can change our life. I believe that. It's powerful. That's an excerpt, by the way, you just heard from the teaching this month on Moments Matter. And I go into the details of the life of Mary and Martha and how Martha, in the moments of her life, failed in the presence of Christ. And what we learn about an unintentional life this month, that's what I'm talking about. And if you join us in support of the ministry, this is what we're sending out to all of our members, current and new, those of you supporting every month. Along this month, with those of you who are sending a special gift, the 101 Things You Can Do to Build Lasting Relationships download. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com, and thank you for your support.
Hi, this is Dr. Randy Carlson, inviting you to join me and my wife, Donna, for a time of spiritual renewal and building lifelong memories. Join us for the 2022 Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska.
Explore breathtaking destinations in Alaska, along with Dr. Randy Carlson and special guest artist Mike Weaver of Big Daddy Weave.
I am redeemed.
The Intentional Living Alaska Cruise sails June 12th, 2022. Book your cabin at theintentionallife.com.
Who's your favorite?
Huh?
Who's your favorite?
Oh, you, of course.
And who's your favorite?
I said you.
What?
You asked me who's my favorite. It's you.
Thanks, but I was just adding some favorites to the web browser.
Okay, well, I have another for you. It's theintentionallife.com.
Oh, yeah, I love them.
Yep, you can listen on demand, keyword search the program archives, shop the online store, connect to social, and even get freebies.
Theintentionallife.com, my favorite.
Do you have an 8-year-old son that won't share with his younger sister? Well, one of our listeners does, and they sent this question. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Let each of us look not only to our own interests, but also the interest of others." Now, that verse is a big picture for adults, but I think it's something we need to be teaching our children. We need to establish an expectation that we share in this family. It's not about me and mine and what I own, but it's about the things that God has given me that I can share with other people. Now, your 3-year-old may only know the word minds, right? It's minds, and that's important to see. That's going to be a process of training your children to share. So can I encourage you to acknowledge when they do share and praise them for it and discipline selfishness? That's intentional living.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Welcome back to Intentional Living Center. We're all about motivating and equipping and then mentoring, coming alongside. Because life is short and we want to live it intentionally for Christ. We talked about marriage, focusing on seeking help early, editing yourself. John Gottman in his research also found that when we learn how to make it a habit to repair and exit an argument. In other words, when you're in that point where you've had a disagreement, do you know how to repair maybe some of the damage that could have been done in the words that have been shared or the attitudes displayed, and then how to exit? In other words, how you know how to kiss and make up. That's basically what he's saying. If you can have a habit that says, hey, we know in advance when we have problems how we're going to come to some conclusion, agree to disagree, pray about it, put it on an agenda to talk about tomorrow or whatever, but you know how to deal with exiting an argument. Why? Because, again, if you have arguments on an ongoing basis and they never get resolved and there's always a tension point under the surface that's left there, that can create problems long-term in your marriage. It's the accumulation of a little negativity over an extended period of time that can create huge problems. They really can. And today we're talking about habits that can make your marriage work. We got some callers we're getting to in just a minute.
Dr. Randy, I've been married for 30 years to the most wonderful woman in the world. She's my best friend. We lost a child 5 years ago that was 20 years old. And the only way you make it through life like that and have a strong marriage is with Christ in it. And I thank you for it. Bye.
Thank you for your stories today. Appreciate it. And by the way, you can share your story or comment with us on Facebook, theintentionallife.com. Hit Facebook there. On Twitter, we always enjoy hearing from you there at the IL Center, or by calling 888-888-1717. Shanda's on the line. Is it Shanda?
Shanda.
Shanda, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What's a habit that is working for you guys?
So we've been married almost 9 years, and my husband Rex is incredibly loving. He has two questions that he asks me on a regular basis that just melt my heart. Mm. He will often say to me, "Have I told you how much I love you yet today?" Mm-hmm. Or he will say, "Have I told you how beautiful you are today?" Mm. And he can do that at midnight when I'm doing homework and I'm exhausted, or I'm cooking dinner or cleaning the bathroom. It doesn't matter what I look like or how I feel. He just melts my heart when he says it.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. That build into your marriage in those times when it's a little tougher, you're building a kind of a bank account of love in the relationship, don't you think?
Absolutely. It makes me feel like I can trust him, like I can depend on him and turn to him.
That's fantastic. How long have you been married?
Almost 9 years.
All right. I hope guys are listening. That's a positive thing, a habit you can develop. The words that you speak, you know, we've shared the word off, the passage often, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. It's the little words meant from your heart that you share with your spouse that make a difference. Okay, Shanna, thank you for your call.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Working late, going to study at midnight. Remember those days? Katrina in Texas. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Fantastic. What are some habits or a habit in your marriage that's working for you guys?
Well, I just recently graduated college, and I'm working at a tax accounting office, so it's like my first real job. And my husband, you know, he often tells me that he notices how hard I'm working. And one of the fun things that he does for me is on Monday and Wednesday, he'll send me a little morning pick-me-up, which is basically just a text with like a funny link to it or a picture or something along those lines. Hmm. So,
how's that feel to you when you get those?
The first time I got it, I was like, okay, that's weird. And then now every time he does it, it's like I just absolutely love it. And when he doesn't do it, I notice and I text him and I'm like, where's my pick-me-up?
How long you been married?
3 years now.
Good for you. Good for you. What was it that attracted you to him?
He's quirky and nerdy like me, so that definitely helped.
Well, so you shouldn't have been surprised when you started getting texts. Well, good for you, Katrina. Listen, what we've heard today and what we see on Facebook coming in are just these simple things. It's the little things that make a difference. It's building into your marriage a little bit over an extended period of time that can turn a 3-year marriage into a 30-year marriage. It's a matter of just continuing to do those little things that really add up. Thank you for your call, Katrina. Glad you're listening.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. John Gottman gives us the good stuff in terms of what the research shows that make a marriage work. We've talked about some of these already. Seeking help early, editing yourself, exiting an argument. Another thing he found in the research is accepting influence from each other. To the extent, in fact, he found that the extent that a husband is willing to accept influence from his wife is correlated to marital success. In other words, guys, don't always have to be in charge. We don't always have to be right. We don't always have to be the one that makes every decision. Yeah, I know there are roles in marriage, but the reality is, guys, when we take influence from our wives and we listen to their hearts, hear their words, because they are smarter than we are in a lot of stuff, when we do those things consistently over an extended period of time, it makes a big difference. Next is maintaining high standards. Couples who make it a habit not to treat each other with more disrespect than they would anybody else. Isn't it interesting that sometimes we disrespect each other in our family in ways that we would never disrespect someone, a stranger knocking on the door? And it shouldn't be. Maintaining high standards. And interesting, Gottman also found focusing on the bright side, where the Bible says, you know, a little positive happiness makes like good medicine in marriage, right? Keeping a positive attitude in marriage really can make a difference.
Imagine getting away to get close to God's creation on the 7-day intentional living Alaska cruise. you'll experience what feels like a moving picture postcard. As you cruise through the inside passage, you'll see the magnificent Hubbard Glacier, waterfalls, rainforests, and unique wildlife. You'll also enjoy world-class food and cruise accommodations. It's an unforgettable experience you'll treasure for a lifetime.
Hi, this is Dr. Randy Carlson, inviting you to join me and my wife, Donna, for the 2022 Intentional Living Alaska Cruise. You'll be strengthened during times of worship, and you'll discover the power of intentional living in Christ that can bring hope, peace, and joy to your life. I can't wait to see you there.
The Intentional Living Alaska Cruise with Dr. Randy Carlson sails June 12th through the 19th, 2022. Sign up today to get the cabin of your choice. Go to theintentionallife.com.
You know, there's not a lot to add. I think she did a great job really giving the picture of this week, June 12th through 19th. I would like to add a couple things, however. One is, while we're at sea and we get together, we have a special place just for us as our group. And we're going to have worship and praise together. And we've invited our friend Mike Weaver, a Big Daddy Weave. He's going to be there leading worship, putting on a concert. He and his wife will be teaching. As you heard, I'll be teaching intentional living, and our ministry president, Evan Carlson, and his wife will be there, and Evan will be teaching as well. It's just going to be an exciting week. Mostly, though, it's going to be you and those you bring enjoying a vacation with a purpose, the beautiful sights and sounds and smells of an Alaska cruise, and breathing some fresh air come June 12th through 19th. And again, we'd love to have you be a part of it. And as she mentioned, get your cabin reserved. This is kind of like the big month to sign up, and we have limited availability, and we're just looking forward to those of you who are going to step out and say, hey, this is going to be a time we want to just really enjoy and stretch our wings a little bit and enjoy getting back out to God's creation. Get your cabin reserved today. Go to theintentionallife.com. By the way, when you get your cabin online, there's a little discount. You can check it out, theintentionallife.com.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. My name is Tracy. And a couple years ago, I felt like my marriage just unraveling and I needed to do something. I read a book, A Life After God's Own Heart, and since then started living an intentional life as being a godly wife. And it changed my marriage, where my husband and I are coming up on our 20th wedding anniversary and are more in love now than we were when we first got married. And I want to thank you for your broadcast and just encouraging people to live intentional life. Thank you and God bless. Bye.
Boy, listen, thank you. It's just a little tenderness, right? I think there's a song that talks about that, doesn't it? Just a little tenderness makes a difference. This day today, I think, is an opportunity for us to come back to the roots of what our ministry is all about, because we believe that intentional living comes back to doing the next right one thing. If you've heard me at all in conferences, you know I say declare your intention. Today, do that. Declare your intention. Before God today, I declare my intention to be the husband, to be the wife that God intends for me to be. I don't have a perfect spouse, and I'm not a perfect spouse, and we've got challenges, but I intend today to be the spouse that God intends for me to be. And then secondly, start developing the kind of habits. And when you do that, that's intentional living. And I want to say thank you for joining us today. I want to thank those of you who've been joining us in support of the ministry. Thank you for all that you're doing to make intentional living a reality. We'll see you next time. We got a lot more for you from day to day right here from the Intentional Living Center.